Matildas are Cup of Nations champion for the second time after getting it back in 2019 and now 2023. We can add another layer to their trophy cabinet, the first under Tony Gustavsson. Welcome back to the official Liberty A-League podcast. Campbell Johnson, your host today on a big Matildas special today as we welcome back the Liberty A-League this weekend, and we have a brilliant chat later on with Chile's Cote Rojas, Melbourne City's Cote Rojas as well. A really, really powerful one there after their exit from World Cup contention as they were defeated by Haiti in New Zealand yesterday. A big result for the Matildas last night against Jamaica. Campbell Johnson here, joined by Grace Gill and Kath Canulli. Guys, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Cam. Always good to get the team back together.
Yep, awesome. Cam, to be here.
Grace coming to us live from Newcastle, where she was last night as well. Grace, what a game.
Yeah, huge result for the Matildas. I think, importantly, lifting the trophy, the silverware, that was always going to be a big achievement in Tony Gustavsson's tenure with the Matildas and for the girls as well. To be on home soil, lifting a trophy in front of home fans was an important moment. And, you know, now 7 games undefeated, and in that 23 goals that they've scored and have only conceded 4. So things are moving most certainly in the right trajectory.
A 7-game winning streak now for Tony Gustavsson's side. Kath, is that the form the girls need heading into this World Cup? Was that a good preparation?
I definitely think it was a preparation that was needed. You could see the way that the girls were celebrating as well after the game last night. You could see, you know, the happiness on their face. I'm sure that Tony would have spoke a lot about, you know, he's obviously said in previous media that they're treating this as the group stages. They wanted to, you know, replicate being at the World Cup. And I think lifting that trophy, it starts to plant seeds in the girls' heads to, you know, start to show them psychologically, to start to think about, okay, we want to be doing this on home soil in a few months' time, lifting the World Cup trophy. And I think if you start sort of believing it and you start thinking about that, start planting those seeds, I think it's one step of the way to actually get there. And I think this tournament for them was super important for the whole playing group and everyone just to get back together. They haven't been, you know, together for a few months. And, you know, being in Australia, I think it's another plus for them, which is in behind the home crowd. And, you know, it sort of gives me goosebumps knowing that the World Cup is so close. And I'm sure each and every one of those girls that took the pitch or were part of that group will be really starting to feel that special feeling that you get knowing that we are so close to a home World Cup.
Well, Tony Gustavsson said it's the group stage preparation in the Cup of Nations. Well, if that's the group stage, well, this game up against England in a month's time or so will certainly be a knockout round clash. Grace, what are you expecting from that match for the Matildas?
Well, in terms of a test, that's going to be their biggest test yet. Euros, they won the Euros, sorry, England went through undefeated in stunning fashion, and just the players they've got in their side at the moment, they're world class. So I think for the Matildas, winning the Cup of Nations, if that were to be a replica of the World Cup group stage, that would fortunately see them not face England when they get out of that group stage, which will be really important. If they come second in that group stage of the World Cup, the likely permutation around that will be coming up against England. So especially for that reason, I think this match against England in April will be a really good litmus test for this team.
Kath, how excited are you for that clash?
Super excited for that clash. And I think it's going to be a real test for the whole squad to really know and see where they're at. You know, I think as good as the last week has been for the team, you know, and, you know, the results that they have gotten against these three teams that we've had, you know, playing against England, they are one of the top teams in the world and will really show us where we're at, you know. So, and to be playing that game in London, I think is also a plus for the girls where they don't have to, you know, worry about traveling and, you know, doing the whole jet lag. And, you know, as we've seen this morning, a lot of the girls had left Newcastle at 3 a.m. to be able to get back for club commitments. And as much as, you know, it's great that they're all flying business class now, we still know when we travel that this does take a toll on your body and on your performance as well.
And we saw less players that have been playing in England probably playing a less prominent role in this tournament, I should say. You know, a lot of your big players who've been playing, other than your Caitlin Fords and your Sam Kerrs, a lot of them spending time on the bench as well. Katrina Gorry, Alex Chidiak, Caitlin Ford getting on the score sheet last night. Grace, that is textbook Katrina Gorry if ever I've seen it.
How many times have we seen Gauri line up a shot like that across her body, and it always has that curve that's moving away from the goalkeeper? She sort of slices the edge of the ball somewhat, and she's so good from that kind of range. So when that one just sat up really neatly for her and she hit it, and she was fired up too. She'd been battling in the middle of the park with Drew Spence for the game, and they were having some really good physical, aggressive challenges. But that one sat up really nicely for her, and you could see when she celebrated just how excited she was about that finish, and deservedly so as well. It was world class.
What a moment for Minnie, Kath.
That's Minnie's bread and butter. You know, as Grace has said, we just know that she can hit the ball from that range. She does it in a special technique way as well, the way she does slice and the way she does hit that ball. And, you know, for her as well, just to see her, like, I think she's phenomenal. Like, what she's done to be able to go off, have a child, come back and get back to this form and to be able to do what she does, I think is just amazing, you know?
I think as well of the Cup of Nations, I thought that was Minnie's best performance. So the first two games, I thought she was a little standoffish at times, but she seemed to have a real fire in her belly for this one where she just came out firing. And I'd say for across the 90 minutes, Gauri was the best on ground for the Matildas in last night's game against Jamaica, which was an important performance for her too.
Yeah, really big step up from her after some... She's been very consistent in terms of her place in the team alongside Kara Cooney-Cross. I'd just like to stop for a moment and just say, it really is Harper's world, isn't it? Isn't it? With the trophy afterwards. So good to see. And I know, Kath, you and I have spoken about this in the past, that the impact of having a baby and a child in the camp can be. And it looks like I saw Tony Gustavsson holding Harper after the game as well. Seems like that's really, I don't want to say the glue for the squad, but she's really providing a nice vibe, I think it's fair to say.
100%. You know, you see the girls on social media and, you know, you see so many different players holding Harper or dancing with Harper or, you know, always mucking around and spending the time and taking the time out to actually spend, you know, quality time with her. And, you know, those girls are going to be a massive part of her growth as a young child. And this is going to be memories that she's going to remember forever and, you know, look back on her journey. And, you know, we talk about Minnie. Minnie's still got such a long way to go in her career as well. She's still so young and she's got many more years to play in the Matildas squad as well. And I just think it's a beautiful thing. You know, I'm a mother of two and it's the most amazing thing that I've ever done in my life. And, you know, you can have the worst day in the world, but then as soon as you walk through that door and you see your kid's eyes light up, it sort of turns all those, you know, negative things or those bad things that happen in that day, you sort of forget about it. And I think in and around a camp, or especially in this elite environment, things can get tense. Things can get really serious. Things can get, you know, a lot of pressure put on people. And, you know, when you see someone like Baby Harper walking around and, you know, you've got no choice but to put a smile on the face because there's a young child running around. What are you going to do, be angry around the kid? So I think it's amazing that, you know, we've actually seen the growth in women's football to be able to allow Minnie to have Harper in and around the squad. You know, looking back 4 or 5 years ago, we would never have seen this. Now it's the norm, and I think it's a beautiful norm to have.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it's one, Kath, that I know you've spoken about in the past and on Dub Zone, drawing the comparisons, and just shows how far we've come with the case of Heather Garriock specifically. I think it's so powerful, and I think that it's just brilliant that Katrina Gauri has been able to do this and has been supported so well in that as well. Mackenzie Arnold, a former Brisbane Roar teammate of hers, one player of the tournament. Grace, how sensational was she throughout this tournament?
I think we saw the most consistent performances from Mackenzie Arnold than perhaps we've ever seen. And for her personally, individually, that was always going to be huge. And especially for the fact that the last time that she went on the field in between the sticks with the Matildas against Spain, she let 6 past her. So this was, as much as it was a performance test, it was almost just a matter of resilience for her and how she could psychologically face that, because that's a huge hill to climb when you've let 6 go past you and then you're returning to the same team, somewhat different personnel, but the same national team squad that did that. So that was always going to be tough for Mackenzie. And what we saw across the course of the Cup of Nations is She made some really key saves in big parts of the game as well. On a few occasions, saw her get really fired up, which sometimes you don't see from Arnold so much, but I thought that was really important for her too. I guess my one question around the performance from the team is in some of those instances why she had so much work to do, because she did have to make some really clutch saves and she did them to aplomb, but sort of why she was exposed or defensively, why she was put into those situations that warranted then a player of the tournament performance for a goalkeeper. It's both a good thing and a thing that has a few question marks after it as well. But I'm really, really pleased for Mackenzie Arnold.
Yeah, that's a brilliant point you raise, Grace. And Kath, Mackenzie Arnold has probably risen in many's estimation within this Matilda's setup and her role within it. But are we seeing complete performances from the Matildas? There's so much positivity around the results, but are we seeing full performances from them yet?
I think the results have been great, you know, and we've been talking about, you know, having 7 consecutive wins and, you know, that's fantastic for the playing group. But we've also got to look at who have we played against in those 7 matches as well. So that's a big talking point as well. But we haven't seen complete 90-minute performances. You know, they've had good halves. You could see in the opening game, the first half was poor. They had to come out and pick themselves up, which they did. And we always know we're not going to have, you know, a great 90 minutes overall, but you need to be as consistent as can be if you want to be there at the pointy end of that World Cup and be there in that final match lifting that trophy. And unfortunately, in tournament mode, you don't have time to come back from things. So you really got to hit the ground running. I think the combinations of who Tony goes with on the field is going to be a key talking point. There was a couple of times there, you know, last night with Courtney Nevin and Larissa Crummer, that was a combination that just did not work. He obviously had to make some changes at halftime, but he needs to really have down pat what he's going to do in terms of who works well with who to be able to get that consistency out of their performances. Because unfortunately, come tournament mode, there's no second chances. This is it.
Grace, what have you made of their performances as a total, as a whole, throughout this tournament?
Yeah, look, I think the best word to describe the tournament would be a little bit inconsistent. So results aside, if we're looking purely at performances, to Kath's point there, against Czech, they had a poor first half, a great second half. Against Spain, they had an excellent opening half and then tried to defend a lead. It didn't work too well in the second half, just managed to hold on to the result. And last night, watching the game against Jamaica and calling it, I was keeping an eye on Tony Gustafsson on the sideline. And every time the camera went to him or when he was pacing the sideline, he looked really restless. He didn't look pleased. He didn't look happy with what was going on out there. And he spoke a bit about that after the game as well. He said that he wasn't comfortable or confident with that first half performance, hence why a couple of changes were made at halftime. And I think what he was looking for was piecing together those good bits from the first two games for a complete performance, which we're yet to see from the Matildas. And that's not going to happen. You know, 90-minute performances are pretty rare. There's always going to be little mistakes and errors. And of course, that happens along the way. But for a full 90-minute performance, I think we're yet to see that from the Matildas. But we are seeing more consistent parts across halves, let's say.
You mentioned their halftime and changes being made. Alex Chidiak came out halfway through or at the post game and said Tony Gustafsson wrote 2 words on the whiteboard at halftime: energy and intensity. She got introduced to the game, got a goal, and really provided that. Kath, what did you make of her impact?
Well, we all know that if you want energy and intensity, Chidiak is the person that you want to put on that pitch. And she definitely brought that last night. She's just fantastic. As soon as she took the pitch, every time she has taken the pitch when she gets on for the green and gold, she's just so prolific. She just wants to be out there. You can just see how much it means to her to want to sort of book that spot in that team and be part of that team. And for me, I get super excited seeing Gorrie, Cooney Cross and Chidiak on the field at the same time, because that for me is, you know, ultimate to be able to see them all link up. And I think they're 3 fantastic footballers, and I love seeing that. And even though they're playing, obviously, Chidiak more in that wider position where she's not generally used to playing, I thought she'd done really, really well in adapting her game to be able to, you know, fit into what Gustafsson wanted from her. And I thought she brought her A game last night. And again, I think she's fantastic. And She's someone that really does bring energy, and she's just, you just look at her on the pitch, and you know, if I'm on that pitch next to her, I just want to be able to link up with her and to sort of match that energy and that intensity that she actually brings. And I think that's, for me, she's a big key part to this Matilda squad as well.
She's certainly a fan favourite as well, Grace. She got her first international goal in 1,794 days, the last one coming against Thailand, I believe, in 2018. What a moment for Chids, and how well is she playing at the moment?
Yeah, I was really pleased for her, and she's so silky on the ball. It was a really deft feint of her body to one side, and then she lost two defenders going the other way and just rocketed that shot home. I was really, really happy for her. And I think to the point of how well she's playing, it was something that Tony Gustafsson did address in the post-match press conference where he said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing here, but look, I think we can all agree on performances that Chidiak warrants a start, her performance warrant a start, but he's also then looking at what is best for the game. And this is something that I think we spoke about last time, where we said we all agreed that Chidiak was doing enough to get a spot in that starting side, but Tony Gustafsson would continue to bring her off the bench given how much of an impact she plays, where players are tired and fatigued, and then she comes on and she is this bundle of energy. And when you've got a kind of impact player like that, you can see that rationale as well from Tony Gustafsson, because he talks about game changers, starting 11, finishing 11. And Chidiak is a huge part of where we've seen shifts in the Matildas' performances. She's been part of that. So I can understand as well. But yeah, look, I'd love to see her get a start. I think she's deserved it.
Well, that segues us nicely to the first time we've done this on the podcast, the Isuzu Ute Matildas World Cup Watch. We'll be breaking down some of the key talking points, the key movers and shakers for this upcoming World Cup. And a big part of that is this Cup of Nations. Who's played well? Who's making their way into genuine selection? And who's undroppable? We mentioned Courtney Vine last week, but let's talk about Alex Chidiak. We just spoke about her then. Previously in this list, you can have a look at the full list of players, where they sit on the KeepUp app or keepup.com.au. Alex Chidiak, where does she sit for us in terms of her place within the national team for this upcoming World Cup? We'll start with you, Kath.
I think she's definitely got a spot. And if she doesn't, I want to know where Tony Gustafsson lives, I'm telling you, because she needs to be in that squad. She has done more than enough. And I just think we would be silly if we don't take someone like Alex Chidiak to a World Cup. And, you know, again, whether she's a starter, whether she's a game changer, she can play a part in this squad. And I truly believe that she is one of our best female footballers in our country.
Grace, how big of an impact can she play at the World Cup?
Yeah, for me, she's got a ticket booked. And if she doesn't, then we riot. So
I'm happy to get the pitchforks out, guys. I'm happy to get the flames.
I think she's fantastic. I think she brings a real point of difference to this Matilda squad. And it's fun to watch. And she's so creative. And she's such a workhorse. The fact that she scored the goal last night as well is great for her confidence. But in my eyes, in my mind, she's a lock into that Matilda squad for the World Cup.
I'm sure a lot of Matilda's fans will be very happy with that one. One player who hasn't really got a run, I don't think she played a minute at this tournament, M. Gilnick, who is at Aston Villa at the moment. Grace, struggling a little bit here.
Yeah, it's a curious one for me. M. Gilnick, not playing a huge amount at Aston Villa either, and been brought across obviously to the Cup of Nations squad, but doesn't step on the field of play. We've seen her used in a couple of games over Tony Gustafsson's time looking after the team, and she did start a couple against Portugal and Spain last year in that window, but hasn't seen much game time since. And I think there's a bit of uncertainty around where she best fits into the team, whether that's being as a target striker, but when you've got a Sam Kerr there, you know, why would you bring an M. Gilnick in? And she's a good, tall, physical presence, but then against some of the, say, teams that are physically smaller in stature, she hasn't been used. So she's not then able to use that physical dominance that she has. For me, she's an inside runner. Look, I think of this Cup of Nations squad that Tony Gustafsson's brought across, she's probably, and I say this, I guess hesitantly because it's tough, but she's probably one of the first ones who may not get picked to go, or should have to have a pretty outstanding, stellar next couple of months back at Villa to get a ticket for the World Cup.
I wonder if we might see her against England with that travel being somewhere she's more used to playing at the moment. Kath M. Gilnick, is she perhaps not as dynamic of a player that Tony Gustafsson looks for? Is that potentially it, or am I completely off there?
I think she's just not really in favour with him at the moment. You know, I don't think he, you know, has thoughts of putting her on at any time. You know, we haven't seen her have many minutes with Tony, and it's been unfortunate, you know, because she has improved as a footballer. She's had, you know, time to go into the WSL and, you know, sort of take her football to that other, to another level. And I know she's not playing that much, and it's a bit unfortunate, but I think Tony, if you look at the type of play that he has been putting on those in those wider areas, I think if you would look at their high-speed meters and how quick they actually are and what type of players that he's actually looking for, maybe Emily Gilnick just doesn't fit into what he actually wants, you know. So I know obviously he put Chidiak in that wider position last night, but, you know, his starting was Courtney Vine and he had Rasso on the other side, which are both rapid players, you know. So it could be just not her not fitting into what he wants and what style he wants to play. It's not a case of is she good enough, is she not good enough. She's been in the round team for a long time, but she just might not fit in to what he wants. And it's going to be a real question around whether he does take her. She has been going to all the camps, which has been fantastic, but she hasn't been even given sort of a chance to be able to prove, to say, hey, I can show you what I've got, which I think, you know, I know over the Cup of Nations that he did talk about going into tournament mode, okay, but there was times there when you're 3-0 up, you can make a couple of changes to be able to say, okay, well, let's throw in an Emily Gilnick, or let's throw someone in to be able to say, okay, well, how can they fit in here, or what can they do in this instance? And I think even though it was great, we were successful, we won, could we have possibly had some more time to give a few more players a little bit of minutes, like the Emily Gilnicks of the world, to be able to say, okay, here's your chance to go and show me that you deserve a spot in that 23.
Yeah, to that point, Kath, I think the part where that wouldn't have fit in with the narrative of tournament preparation was for the fact that if you're seeing out a game or trying to square away a game, that he's probably not going to experiment too much and didn't want to test things to that degree. But what I would say about M. Gilnick and what I really like about her is that I've heard her say in the past that she's the first to put her hand up and say, I know I'm not the best footballer in the world. I know I'm not the best footballer on the Matildas. But her work rate and her commitment to work hard, I find really, really admirable. So it's not like she's got, she's not unaware of her place in the squad. I think she's acutely aware of her place in the squad. And I think that's a really important thing to have as a footballer.
Certainly that work rate has held her in good stead at multiple clubs now. And whether she can break into that World Cup squad is yet to be seen. Someone who has been in World Cup squads in the past, who's been part of the Matildas set up in recent years and recent times, but not part of this Cup of Nations squad. Chloe Legazzo from Western United has been a bit of an injury cloud around her at points. She obviously recovered from a long-term knee injury playing for Western United, not playing recently due to injury as well. I believe a foot one this time, Tony Gustafsson said, and why she wasn't involved in this camp. Kath, is there too much of an injury cloud around her? Can we see her make her way in for this World Cup, make a late push?
Well, we know that she's obviously struggling at the moment with plantar fasciitis. It's something that's come on after returning from injury. You know, generally that's a load thing. Could be the, you know, the fields that they're training on. She hasn't sort of loaded through her body at that point. And, you know, sometimes we're always thinking about the original injury, which is the ACL, when, you know, you sort of forget about the rest of your body and you know, we're so focused on getting back on the pitch. I think in time, she'll be right again. I think in the next, you know, few weeks, we should hopefully see her back. She'll return back to America and get, I think I heard her say the other night that she's going to get at least, you know, 15 or 16 games in, you know, prior to the World Cup if everything goes well. Again, I think she does have enough time, but time is also ticking now. So they need to now start proving to Tony that they are worthy of a spot. So she needs to make sure that come the next camp that the Matildas come together, that she is in full fitness, that she is ready to go, and that she has no injuries over her head, not even any little, the slightest of little niggles, because it's going to be a concern for him to want to take a player that has had so many, injuries over her head at this point.
It's one I'm anxious for Chloe Legazzo, because for her, I obviously would love that recovery from the ACL and now this foot injury with the plantar fasciitis. I'd love her to be there at the World Cup, but there's this real level of anxiety about whether or not she can get beyond this foot injury in the time that she needs to. I guess perhaps a little bit anxious again for her too around returning to the NWSL with Kansas City. Will she get the support, the physio, the around-the-clock attention that I think she needs to get her body back into the physical state it needs to be for the Women's World Cup and 15 games, if she can get that under her belt, as you say, Kath, and get fit and get a lot of match fitness, then yeah, she can definitely make a run for it. But at the moment, there's a question mark there, because in this squad, we did see 2-3 girls who were brought in unavailable to play, injured, carrying knocks, carrying little injuries or niggles that obviously kept them out of the match day squad. But for Chloe Legazzo, wasn't included in that. So I'm curious as to where that applies to some players and it doesn't to others. And, you know, even use the example on a bigger stage for Elise Keller-Knight, who was taken to the 2019 World Cup completely unable to play, but she was brought in for her leadership, her experience. And you wonder if some of those questions or considerations will be brought into this World Cup squad in a few months' time.
Well, we hope she can recover, because she is such a sensational player. We know what she can do. We've seen it with Western United this year as well, even off the bench. A game against, I believe it was Sydney or Melbourne City, where she came off the bench and absolutely crushed it in that one. So we hope she can get back to that form consistently as well. And I think a really interesting point by you, Kath, there as well, on terms of kind of use, we always think about that initial injury, but then it's, you kind of compensate by using different parts of your body and then they take the toll as well. So a really interesting point, and I wonder what we'll see from Chloe Legazzo over the next few months. Charlie Grant was sensational in this Cup of Nations tournament, and many people have been kind of throwing up the question of come to Grant, how do they both fit into the same team? I liked a point yesterday on the call, on the coverage from Bubs, saying that maybe you push Ellie Carpenter into a wider midfield role and allow Charlie Grant to play in that holding, more defensive fullback role. Grace, what did you think of that, and how do you see them potentially fitting into the same team? How do you kind of keep that balance?
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it? How do you fit both players into a position where they're both proving themselves as contenders? We know the quality of Ellie Carpenter, and obviously we want to see her back fit and firing. She's made a remarkable recovery from that ACL injury. But Charlie Grant, in the meantime, she's made a name for herself. And for me, she's an absolute lock-in for this squad. She's not going anywhere. But the question will be, if both her and Carpenter are fit, where do they fit into the side? We saw a couple of variations last night in the starting back four, where Courtney Nevin was over on the right and then moved over onto the left, and Charlie Grant was then brought in on the right. So that was curious as to a few shuffling patches there. Whether or not that would work with both of them starting. One of the ways I could see it happening is if Tony Gustafsson deploys a back five and Charlie Grant is part of that back three with Ellie Carpenter bombing on. But part of Charlie Grant's game that is so good is also her forward runs and her attacking play. So they're two players that, while different in their own right, both really love getting forward and offer a lot on their right foot particularly. So I don't have a clear answer as to how they both best fit in, but I think it's a really healthy thing for both of those players and for the squad.
It's just all dependent on what formation, what style Tony wants to play. You know, if you feel that you need to have the best players on the pitch and you think that a certain formation is going to work for you and that's what's best for the team, then definitely, you know, like we've just said, there's different ways that you can fit the both of them in. Again, I'll have to reiterate that Charlie Grant has been sensational. You know, we've always been so worried about, you know, if Ellie Carpenter's not around or if Sam Kerr's not around, who's going to fill those shoes? And until we give somebody the opportunity to be able to fill those shoes, we don't actually know, you know. So to see the way Charlie has performed and to see her grow on and off the pitch and to be able to be a big part of this squad – I think it's fantastic to see, and it's so great to see that, you know, she has been homegrown in the Liberty A League as well. She's come out of Adelaide. She's done fantastic. She's, you know, done everything that's needed. They spoke about, you know, moving overseas and picking her life up from Australia, going away, overseas and playing her football over there. And, you know, she's been doing fantastic in Sweden as well. I think she's in Sweden. Is that right?
Yep.
And yeah, she's been doing great, you know, and every time she comes into camps, whether she was coming off the bench or whether now how she's starting, she has been fantastic. And for me, I think the best way to be successful, one of the reasons why the USA have been so successful, is that you have your starting 11 and then the next 11 that can fit into that spot are just as good, because that's how you win World Cups. That's how you win tournament, because unfortunately in football, things happen and you don't know what's going to happen once you go into tournament mode. You don't know if Ellie Carpenter is going to get injured in the first 5 minutes of, you know, the first game. You need to make sure that the next person that goes in is just as good. So we need to make sure that, you know, every single person is fighting for spots. And I think one of the most fantastic things that we're seeing now is the competition for places. And again, I'll go back to the positive of having Mackenzie Arnold in goals and playing those three games and having a great tournament actually makes Lydia Williams and Tegan Micah start thinking about, ooh, hang on, Macca just had a top tournament. I've got to pick up my game. So that's what actually starts to raise the performances and actually starts to raise the standards within the group. And that's how they get better as a nation. And that's one of the main points that, you know, the USA national team has just always been so fantastic at. If you're not performing, there's somebody on the bench that's ready to take your spot.
It's that next player up mentality, isn't it? We've seen that now as well with Claire Hunt, as it were, someone made in the Liberty A League as well, and now started the last two games for the Matildas and really putting some pressure on. Her ticket looks ever, ever growing. Grace, what do you think about that? Will she make this World Cup squad, and how good is it to see her? I know Kath is going to have a lot to say about this one as well, but we'll start with you, Grace. What did you think about it, and where does she sit in this side?
Well, I'm going to beat Kath to the point, because I'm saying it now. Claire Hunt's going to the World Cup. She's done enough in my eyes. She's done enough to build in the depth of where we've so badly needed in these centre-half roles. And this is a player who, well, a week ago, this time last week, had not pulled on the green and gold for her country. And 7 days later, she's had three appearances, two starts. And from what I saw in those games, she has done plenty. So I'm saying it now, she's going to the World Cup.
I agree. She's 100% going.
That's, you know, a shock. You don't, that's just a shock, Kath.
I'll send Claire my BSB and account number after the pod. Don't worry, guys. It's all good.
But do you get half of her jersey?
Yeah, you know what? I've got to message her. She better give me one of those jerseys. If I didn't give her that scholarship at Wanderers, who knows where she would be? She'd probably still be chasing the lambs up in country New South Wales.
Well, let's not discount the time in Canberra she had too, Kath. All right.
Yeah, of course. No, I think she done fantastic. You know, obviously we done, you know, the last pod and we spoke about, you know, I put her as my number one pick, and it wasn't just about her, you know, she wasn't a superstar, you know, the performance wasn't, you know, absolutely amazing, everything, but she did her job. She went on, she held her structure, she'd done what was needed from a centre back. She was super, super strong on and off the ball. You could really see how comfortable, look at her demeanour on the pitch, look at the way she projects herself on the field, the way she just sort of, you know, she just is a natural born leader. And I think that's one of the main things that comes from Claire Hunt. We've got to actually understand she's still quite a young player as well. And even though she has overcome so many, you know, injuries and so many issues within her career, and I remember talking to her in the last injury and, you know, there was thoughts there that she was going to just throw it away. And I said, just hang in there, you know, give it one more chance, give it another crack. You know, you've gone through all this now. Why are you giving up now? You know, just keep going. And I think all that part of her journey has actually made her the person that she is today. And I think she just really embraced being given that opportunity and be able to actually express and give back and say, you know what, I've put this jersey on now. I'm going to give it everything that I possibly can. And I think, you know, she wears her heart on her sleeve. And I think that's a big part of what we were missing in that team as well. Just someone else that can actually step in, because yes, we're looking at World Cup 100%, but what happens post-World Cup? You know, will Polk's hang up the boots? You know, we need to start looking at, you know, the projections of what's going to happen later on down the pitch. And, yeah, again, if Claire Hunt, I think it'll be in her own destiny what happens. But I definitely see her already having a ticket. I think she's impressed enough after these three games.
Well, she's taking the opportunity with both hands and becoming a fan favourite, that is for sure. It also raises a question around Ivy Lewick, a player that Tony Gustavsson had to bring out of retirement, had to convince to come out of retirement to play for the Matildas. Grace, where do you see her place in the team after the introduction and success of Claire Hunt?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Look, I think Ivy Lewick has been really important to the side, and in Tony Gustafsson bringing her out of retirement, how many times has she slotted in, whether it's in the midfield, in the defensive line, and she will just do the work. And we speak of her age, and she's been so impressive because at a national team level, she's continued to be able to plug gaps and holes there. But contingency planning is an important part of national team setup. So when you bring in a player, Claire Hunt, who is 14, 15 years her junior, Ivy Lewick's junior, into the side, and she is playing and impressing in the way she does. For Tony Gustafsson, the question is, well, do I take two centre halves? Do I just take one of them? I feel like that would be really hard on Ivy. If she didn't go, I think she still has a spot in the side because I think she is such an important leader in this group. And I think the fact that she came back into the national team setup, did the work she did, and continues to do when asked of, look, I think that's really special. Whether or not she makes Tony Gustafsson's final cut, I'm glad I'm not the one making that decision. But I think what she does add in the way of her worldly experience, and something else that she harnesses really well is perspective. And I think she's a mature enough mind that around a younger group of girls can offer really valuable perspective in those big moments. So I think for that reason alone, she's key.
Kath, would part of his, I guess, rationale and part of his, I guess, negotiation tactics with Ivy Lewick around coming out of retirement centered around the World Cup? And how does that affect her?
I think it's going to be devastating if Ivy actually misses out in going to this World Cup, purely around that he got her out of retirement to come back and help and fill a hole. And I think, obviously, now finding a player like Claire Hunt that can actually fill that role of a centre-back. And I think in other ways, he might be looking at what other role can Ivy play within the squad. You know, we spoke about in 2019, KK was brought within, you know, in a different sort of role. And maybe we can see that similar role for Ivy this year, you know, in this coming World Cup, because it would be really, really heartbreaking to see her miss out. And on the other hand, it's the unfortunate part, 23 players need to go. He needs to take 23 players that he feels will make a difference to be able to help Australia win the World Cup.
Well, one player who will miss out, unfortunately, on the World Cup as a certainty is Chile and Melbourne City's Maria Cote Rojas, who was very generous with her time. We caught up with her a little bit earlier to have a quick chat about Chile's result against Haiti and the future for Maria Cote Rojas. Well, we're joined by a very special guest today, Maria Cote Rojas. Commiserations, firstly, falling at the final hurdle for Chile against Haiti yesterday. Talk to us a little bit about that result and how everything's feeling in the camp.
Well, I would like to first say hi to you guys and thank you for having me. It's a little bit difficult for me because I thought and I believed it that we could win yesterday. So it's a really difficult feeling, but we have to move on. That's football. It was a really tight game, and we know what the World Cup means to us because we have done it before. So it hurts, I think, a little bit more not to be this time in this World Cup. We know it's going to be here in Australia. For me, it's my second home. So, yeah, heartbroken, really. I was very sad yesterday. I'm trying to, you know, not to think too much and just move on quick. And now that I'm back, I start my training and soon back with my team.
Maria, it's Catherine Canulli here. What's next for women's football in Chile? You know, we've seen such a massive growth from the country. You know, football is a religion in Chile. But where do they want to go next with the female game?
I was worried about that because we are in such a small country where we need to perform and we need to win to have things, to get to board. We are not a developed country yet in the aspect of having resources, having the money. And it's really hard for the league in Chile, for the women's, get professional contracts. Now it's getting better. But now we lost yesterday and things could change. And that makes me really sad because we have more competition coming this year, which is the Pan Americans game at the end of the year. But during the year, I don't think, you know, we are going to have probably friendly games or FIFA dates because what happened yesterday. It's something that I'm assuming personally because men's didn't qualify. So under 20, men's didn't qualify either. And now us yesterday, it makes things really, really hard. And I'm aware of that. I know the impact that the World Cup makes in countries, in players, in our careers, and the growth that can impact everyone, and especially for federation. So, look, we don't know at the moment. We just finished it yesterday, and it's something that we really want to keep pushing, not because the result of the game yesterday, you know, things can drop. And I think we have such a talented players in Chile, not a big country, but I'm sure, you know, we are going to keep pushing the league over there. We are going to keep pushing players to go overseas and to get the best level of training that probably we don't get in Chile. But I'm hoping, and personally, the football, women's football, doesn't drop too much after this loss.
Well, commiserations again, Cote, because we know we would have loved to see you at the World Cup, and we know how much that would mean to you. And you've mentioned there your club team, Melbourne City. You obviously had a wonderful start to the season here in the Liberty A-League, and we're really excited to see you back in the competition. When can we expect to see you pull back on the Melbourne City shirt?
I'm ready. I'm sorry. I'm extremely emotional at the moment because yesterday game, but nothing like Melbourne has been great. My coaches, Dario, and they've been so supportive. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be in such an amazing country and really playing in that team. I'm sorry. It's hard because, again, it's Australia's my second home, and not be part of the World Cup. It's going to be a really tough one. But, yeah, no, just give me one day and we'll be training tomorrow and I will be back with Melbourne hopefully Monday. I have a few days before I head down there. And nothing is, I'm in a really good club, good hands, and I'm so grateful to have that support. And I was in Chile for the whole month in January for this camp. I put my heart, I bet, I took the risk knowing that we could win, we could lose, and I don't regret it. I'm just grateful to have Melbourne City behind and have them supporting me. Thank you for that, to the club, to the coaches. My teammates have been amazing. And you guys, for me, it's been not just a big part of my football career. Australia has been such an important part of my career in the aspect of growing as a person and footballer. So I'm grateful for that, and I hopefully, you know, keep providing and helping my team, the league, the football here. And if I can be in the World Cup playing, hopefully, you know, I can, you know, help anything, I would be here for sure. And yes, hopefully we can win with Melbourne City. I'm looking forward for that. I'm moving on, and yeah, I can't wait to rejoin them.
Well, you mentioned there, Maria, that you're grateful to be in Australia, but I can say on behalf of all of us here and across all the fans in the Liberty A-League that we are truly grateful for you to be in our league. You're an absolutely sensational player, a joy to watch. I remember the game you played for Melbourne City this year on your 35th birthday. I was calling it. You didn't get a goal on that game, but you played absolutely sensationally. And thank you so much for joining us today. A massive commiserations, but I think I speak for everyone when I say can't wait to see you back out on the pitch for Melbourne City.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
A massive thank you to Maria Rojas for her time and commiserations once more. Haiti qualifying for their first World Cup at the hands of Chile there. Kath Connolly, Grace Gill, what a powerful moment there with Maria Rojas. We'll start with you, Kath.
It's just beautiful to see the passion that she has, you know, at 35 years of age, still, you know, wearing her heart in her sleeve. And it's never nice to be kicked out of a tournament. And, you know, she calls Australia her second home. So to be able to play for Chile in Australia would have been a fantastic, you know, event for her and to probably finish off her international career, even though she hasn't spoken about that. But to see the way she speaks about playing football, there's no, you know, signs of her wanting to stop or wanting to sort of give it away. And she's such a passionate person. And the way she, you know, showed that emotion just really shows what it actually means to her.
Yeah, South America, they do football differently. And look, I think it's something that here in Australia we can't fully appreciate, but seeing and hearing the emotion out of Cote Rojas and the disappointment, the devastation from her. And I feel as though we were sharing a part of her processing that result, because as she said, she hadn't really had an opportunity to process it yet. And that's part of it when you go down in that kind of fashion, that it sits really heavily with you. But she's a marvelous player. And as we said, really happy to have her back in the Liberty A-League as soon as we can see her.
And a fantastic person to boot. Can't wait to see her back for Melbourne City as soon as you can. I'm sure they will benefit from having her added to their side. Kath Connolly, Grace Gill, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks as always, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All 32 teams have been decided now for the upcoming FIFA Women's World Cup on home soil. Haiti now join Group D with England, Denmark and China. Portugal join Group E with the USA, Vietnam and Netherlands. And Panama join Group F with France, Jamaica and Brazil. For Haiti, Portugal and Panama, it's their first ever Women's World Cup. So a massive congratulations to them. There's so much content coming your way, so make sure to head to keepup.com.au to never miss a headline. A-League's All Access is out tonight at the time of recording with Andrew Redmayne, the hero in Peru, taking center stage. A new episode of the A-League's Men podcast is out this week, and a very special Players Pod episode focusing around Pride Week. There is also a Keep Up original feature with Emma Checker talking about her story, a must-watch special there. We'll also be bringing you the best audio bites from Dubzone from next week after Dubzone takes place this Sunday, so make sure you set your clocks for that one. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's all for the official Liberty A-League podcast. I've been your host, Campbell Johnson. And as always, enjoy the football. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Hold up on a minute, look nice, look nice. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Hold up on a minute, look nice. Yeah, we look nice, future looking nice. We don't need to tell them twice. Here comes the future. Yeah, we look nice, future looking real nice. We don't need to tell them twice. Here comes the future.